She said, don't talk about it on social media. She said, tell people you did it. Don't tell people you're doing it. Tell people you did it.
Like after.
Entrepreneurs love talking about business. However, it's no secret there's also so many things they love talking about which are not about business. In the Sea of Business podcasts, none of your business is a refreshing break, a surprise kiss, an afternoon fizz. Through Carla Singson's cheeky and radical takes on mundane and principle-heavy topics, you'll gain insights that guarantee you something to talk about on your first Tinder date, while visiting grandma, or if you want to impress your new boss. Big thanks to Proximity Outsourcing for sponsoring this episode. Outsource the most tedious tasks in your business, such as data management, appointment setting, and creatives, for less than $12 an hour, fully managed. Visit ProximityOutsourcing.com for more info. Tired of business podcasts? Tune in to None of Your Business. New episodes weekly.
Are you spending too much money on ads? Want to increase your average order value? Are you eyeing that big exit from your business? Or have you been wondering how you can increase your lifetime value, build a community, and basically make more money through customer loyalty and retention? Let us help. Huckleberry Consulting brings over a decade of experience in client and customer success from the world's biggest companies. Let your customers tell you what they want. Visit consulthuckleberry.com to claim your free audit and quit leaving money on the table. Once again, that's consulthuckleberry.com. See you there.
All right. Good morning, guys. Happy Monday. Here's Carla again for another episode of None of Your Business. So today we have a very fun topic because you guys are probably liking this part of business, and that's networking. I know all about those deductibles you're putting in your cards that are for your business, but are actually for networking. I know it's a fun part of business. And I would also agree it is actually a very lucrative part of business if you do it right. And that's why I invited a very special person today. He is the founder of MDM, a training firm that transforms businesses into million-dollar machines, hashtag MDM. His personal mission is to democratize business transformation tools and shares insights through the million-dollar machine platform. Outside of work, Ernesto enjoys reading, baking challah bread, working out, and spending time with his wife in Miami, Florida. So please help me welcome our guest, Ernesto Mandowski. Welcome, Ernesto. How are you today?
Thank you, Carla. I'm feeling good. I just got back from a walk, just showered, feeling fresh, hopping into the interview. I'm feeling great.
I love that. Yeah. There's always a particular zest that I get from people who reside in sunny places, and you have that. You seem to have that zest. So I love that. So our topic today is called Baking That Bread and Making That Honey, which is we're going to talk about how to make money through fun and networking with like-minded people. So I know that business and networking go hand in hand. And Ernesto actually wrote a book on this, and he has a very cool metaphor about bees and cross-pollination. We're going to hear all about that. But first, let's hear about your background. Introduce yourself to us. How did you get into this career? How did you start your business?
So thank you, Carla. I always wanted to get into restaurants. And why? I wanted to bring people together. My family is from around the world. And the few times we got together, we were too big of a group to like go to a restaurant or go places. And so we would have these big dinner parties in our house. So that was like a really memorable part of my childhood that I wanted to recreate for other people. And when I was 18, I threw a party and made $30,000 in one night. And wow. It was the wildest night of my life. I'll keep the details out of it unless you want to dive back in. But that night I said, I want to do hospitality for the rest of my life. And it really kicked me off. I spent 10 more years after that, studying systems engineering, I'm asking the question, where does this belong in restaurants? And when I approached a nightclub in New York City and built them a CRM, which stands for Customer Relationship Management Tool, they could now keep track of the relationships with their guests. They could understand what products were being sold, who was in their nightclub, how could they email them, how could they remarket to them. And I said, okay, this is it. I want to do tech and hospitality forever. And so I continued doing that for several years. And in 2020, I wrote a book. I published the book. It was called Newbie. And it was about how I created my dream job at the intersection of restaurants, tech, and hospitality. And then realized I didn't want that job anymore. The job I wanted was to be an entrepreneur and start my own company. And so that's what I did 4 years ago.
I love that. Well, I think that another good tangent could also be if you can write this version of this book for housewives who love hosting parties. I'm going to be an affiliate. I'm going to sell this in all the country clubs. And because I love hosting parties, potlucks, and I love cooking. I love bringing people together. I love making people try Filipino food if they haven't had Filipino food all their lives. And so, and you know, entrenched like with your experience in systems engineering, that just sounds like a wonderland for my Virgo self. So I love
You're
it.
also a Virgo?
I'm a Virgo, yes.
Same.
Oh
What
my
was your
gosh.
birthday?
September 18. What about you?
Okay, September 10.
Oh my gosh, belated happy birthday.
Belated happy birthday.
Oh, I'm not even surprised that you're a Virgo. Oh my gosh. Oh, I love it. So I love what you shared because in these money focused businesses like nightclubs and restaurants, sometimes it is common to forget the purpose of bringing people together, relationships, and that's also where money comes from because people get a better experience while they're spending money in your establishment. And so when you were starting out, like with your working life, basically maybe after college or whatever that looks like for you, or before you got into the groove of like making money and having fun, let's talk about what were your beliefs before around making money and hustling, and what were the things that changed until, you know, it became to the mindset that you have now, which is like the more fun you have, the more connections, the more money you make.
Yeah. Well, I growing up, my mom is a successful travel agent, always available, always online, always answering client calls, and always employed. And so a deep-rooted belief was that I needed to get a job. And I needed to do whatever it took to get a job. And I always had internships. I was in engineering school, so it was very easy to get internships. And I had my job at Deloitte and I got paid my money and it was fine. And I was making money, but I was working 70 hours a week. I was traveling to Delaware. It wasn't fun. I mean, I was doing government project management. It was not fun. Super valuable, useful, but not fun. When I, during that time, I, on the weekends, when I was in New York, I was either baking bread, which, you know, maybe we'll get to in a bit. Running my bread bakery, or I was in culinary school. I was kind of really exploring more of that passion of bringing people together and how I could use my bread business to do that. So I kind of had to counter the drudgery during the week with some excitement on the weekends. And so yeah, doing that experience at that restaurant school, at that culinary school, would open up the door for me to actually start working inside of a restaurant group as an operations analyst. And then like my job really became fun because I was literally tasting croissants, like measuring the flour, measuring the butter, like creating the recipes, putting in the system, and then like scarving down like croissants and pastries and having the time of my life. So I don't know if like if I intentionally made a change, but I definitely was always like, okay, I need to, even though life feels like it's shitty and kind of boring and monotonous, like I have to still find a way to
experiment with that thing that gives me joy.
Right. I love that mindset because that it's sometimes it feels like your hobby is like a side chick. You know what I mean? Like I have this main job, but then I have to do this to keep myself sane. And it feels like it's taking away sometimes from your main job. But at the end of the day, it's like you're super like you feel fulfilled. And this for you was like bread baking. And now I understand why working out needs to be in your routine because all this bread.
Yes.
Being in yes. these restaurants, so you know, so that was the thing that you had to build in your routine. I remember this time I made a friend in my hometown in Davao in the Philippines, and their family, he belongs to this pretty wealthy family, and they own the biggest cake factory in the city. And I went to their house, and their house was the factory was behind their house, like the cake factory. So I went to their house and they gave me a tour. But as I entered their house, I was like, it smells like icing all the time, all day. How are you guys not fat? Obviously, they're like immune to it. But oh my gosh, it was just a different life, you know, and I don't promise to be as disciplined. Tell me a little bit. I'm so curious. Tell me a little bit about that bread bakery. So you started this while you're a full-time consultant at Deloitte.
No, actually, okay. No. So the year after I did that nightclub project, I came back to New York round two for an internship. And something came out that like rocked the world, which was called the Cronut. You remember the Cronut?
I remember the Cronut. Yes.
Okay. So for the people that for the uninitiated, the listeners out there, a Cronut is a mix between a croissant and a donut. And I live down the street from the bakery. Where that was. And I always remembered like, wow, like donut, croissant, like I got to combine two things together and create something wild. So what I landed on was a donut filled with ice cream in the middle that was put on a panini press. So when you pushed it down, the donut was hot and the ice cream was cold. And I came up with that idea. I told my friends, they're all like, you're crazy. Going to melt. And I was like, no, I'm going to make it happen. I figured out how to make it work. I went back for my senior year of college and I started selling these donuts and it was going crazy. Like it was awesome. It was exciting. I'd sell like 50 donuts in a night. I'd go to like a fraternity house and I gained some weight. I wasn't like your Filipino friends and I wasn't immune to it. I was really enjoying it. And one day I said, I'm going to do the same sandwich with a French toast. And the best French toast is made with brioche, or if you're Jewish, with challah bread. And so I made the challah bread and I brought it to a mentor of mine. And the mentor was like, dude, forget your sandwiches. Like, this is the product. Like, this is the product you're going to sell. Like, you have a market, you have an identifiable market, Jewish people, and they order it every week. So like you have the frequency down. It's something they already know. Just start doing that. And so I did. And that day I walked out of his office. I created a Facebook page. I made a status and I had 10 orders. And this was like the last month of college. And so I would do a couple rounds. I'd learn to bake. I'd turn my apartment into like a mini factory. And when I moved to New York, I said, okay, I'm going to keep doing this. And let's try to really turn this into a business.
I love that. And thank you for correcting me. It's Kala. Kala?
Hala. Hala.
Hala. Hala. Okay. Yeah. Thank you for that. Wow. That's so amazing because it's like that. It's such a like just hearing these recipes make my mouth water. I can just imagine how good it was. You should do it again right now and be an affiliate for Ozempic. That would be, you know what I mean? That's just like two businesses right there. Like,
you got affiliate schemes for
days.
Like
a funnel just like going around. Let's stop this podcast and start that business.
You don't even know where Hala continues to go with the story, how it keeps going.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, what else did you do? Did you add like a milkshake? What other sugar?
It stayed. Hala was the only product. Focused on my product. I did the opposite of what all entrepreneurs do, which is try to make a million products. No, I stuck to one.
Right.
Which is the advice. Mm-hmm. We all could use. I eventually was selling Hala to Twitter office in New York. And I was showing up
every other week, 25 loaves of bread, and the VP of floor noticed, and he didn't call security. He didn't like, sound the alarm. He actually took me out to breakfast, and he asked me what my plans were. I said, "Well, I want to go into restaurants and be an analyst." And he was like, "I think you have something special here. Like, I think you should really think about turning this into a business." And I was like, "Oh, well, I'm not sure. I don't know how to." He goes, "Look, like, I know all the VPs at all the buildings across New York City. Like, I'll open the door for you, and you just got to do the work." And it was too good to be true. Like, the universe is really like bringing something to me. And a lot of those fears and anxieties came up about like the stories about the job and the safety and the security and the predictability. And there was a point in my life where I had these two opportunities, or options. This guy who was, which was nothing was certain. "Hey, I'll help you out." Nothing was certain. And that opportunity to work at that restaurant group that I mentioned earlier, with a fixed salary and predictability. And I didn't choose pursuing the role with the hollow guy, but I went the restaurant route, and I don't regret it. But hollow would still continue to be a big part of my life, and that's why I knew when later I would get to the point of like entrepreneurship, like I must go for it, because I don't want to run into a situation again where it's like, oh, like turn it down. So that's what has been the focus the last 4 years.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love that story. And a lot of people could really use a few thoughts. We'll come back to that later about like, what to do when you have like different opportunities, maybe a little bit of tip about like choosing what's really great for you. And if you guys are in that type of crossroads, we have another podcast episode about the story of career shifting. Check it out. It's by Farah Garcia. You can find it on, you can just scroll around my podcast and you'll find that it's a very good episode as well. But I want to talk about like, when did you discover that you can make money and like have fun and network properly at the same time? Do you have any iconic landmark events in your life, maybe starting from that experience between like college, your first entry into the entrepreneurial world?
I think it was that party that I threw. I mean, that first night, I had 2,000 people at a nightclub, and I was like the man for some time. People still remember that party, that, and it was just like solidified it. And so networking always became a part of my strategy. I wasn't necessarily making money off of networking when I was like in a job as a working professional, but I was making social money. A lot of social capital and currency and friends and intangible value was created. And so I think especially now today, many people with COVID and the remote world, people have put networking and connection on the back burner because, oh, they're too lazy, or I'm just going to Netflix and chill, or I just want to like enjoy being home. But the magic is out there. Magic is in the world, in the big, bad, scary world is where the magic happens.
I love that because that party, I bet like it's a very visible, like it's a very visible time of your life. And do you have, what are your tips? Like, what were your secrets? Give us a little bit. Like, what did you think made the party super
Of that
successful?
party,
Yeah.
one was I found an epic venue. It was an expression in restaurants, location, location, location. Like, yeah, it's a thing. I
Right.
was at the Hard Rock Hotel. I don't know if this is a tip. I think this literally was like my first profound, like, holy shit, there is a God out there. When I first went to the venue, I told them about my plan. They're like, oh, well, it's $20,000 because it's a Thursday night. And I was bummed out. And that weekend, I was at my girlfriend at the time, her house, and I was like bummed, and the dad was like, "What's up? Like, what's happening?" And I told him what happened with the nightclub, and he was like, "Oh, which nightclub again?" And I told him the nightclub, and like 3 days later, I got a phone call saying like, "Hey, the venue's yours for $6,000." And I'm like, "What? What do you mean?" I didn't even think about it. I just like kept going with the party until eventually, I like asked him like, "Did you do something?" He said, "Yeah, the owner is my patient." And I'm like, what? Like, I was so amazed. But it goes back to that idea of connections and network. And like,
Right.
you have to share your dream and your passion and your goals with everyone, everyone, because you never know who's listening. You never know who is going to hear this podcast and like have their minds change, or you have no idea. And you're going to least expect it from like where the chance will come.
That's right. I love that. That's actually very inspiring. I had a similar experience. I attended this party at the Vancouver Club in Vancouver a few months ago, and I met this guy who has an AI company. And I just, we were talking business, we were networking, and then I was just asking him, "So what are your goals like in the next 5 years? What are you most excited about?" And he said, "I want to help 20 business owners win a Pulitzer Prize." And at first, I was just like floored just how big his dream was. And I felt so small with my own little goals. And I thought, oh my gosh, like I need to be dreaming this big again, and I need to put it out there. So now I never forget that guy. And if I do, randomly meet anyone who's also shooting or would be a good candidate for a Pulitzer Prize, maybe they can do something together or something like that, right? So I love that. I'm really inspired that you mentioned that, like, tell everyone your dreams and be open to support.
Perceiving, yeah. Yeah, you never know.
But I have a little bit of question about that, actually, mindset wise. So I think it's also a trap sometimes when we talk about our dreams and our goals, and it makes us think that we have achieved them, like mentally. You know that thing where if someone's overweight, they always talk about losing weight in like social media, but they never seem to get around to doing it. So what do you think is a way to not fall into this trap, even if we say, share your dreams with the people around you?
That's a really good paradox.
I know, right? Or do you have a friend who's always talks about, like, this business that they want to start or this book they want to write, and but they're on page one and they've been on page one forever?
Do you know what 75 Hard is? So I started it this year in like April, and I
Nice.
would post about it. I would post about it. I'd post about it. And then like day 20, I like fell off. I stopped. And I work with a woman, with like a spiritual coach. And I told her about it. I told her about how I started, and then I fell off, and that I was starting it again. And I did start again 72 days, 62 days ago. And she told me, she's like, she said, don't talk about it on social media. She said, tell people you did it. Don't tell people you're doing it. Tell people you did it.
Like after.
Yeah. It is a paradox because it's like you tell people, and then some people become it'll trigger them, kind of like how that it triggered in you when that guy told you his dreams, and they may sabotage you, maybe, or they might say, oh, cool. And like not really lift you up.
It's a gamble,
And
no?
it's a gamble. It's a gamble. I don't know if there's a right or wrong answer. I think it comes back to like just having the conviction inside that you're gonna do it, and then just like do it. I think it just comes down like, are you open to getting shot down? Or like why are you telling people? Because maybe they're going to shut you down, or like maybe you don't feel like you could do it on your own, so you need to like tell people. I don't know. I now I realize I'm kind of backpedaling on what I said earlier, but I still believe in telling people things,
No, for real.
but it there, yeah, I guess there's like multiple ways or multiple perspectives here. There's no wrong answer.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think your answer is actually head on. You said, like, it depends on your intention. Because some people do not have, honestly, the best intentions. They just want to brag, right? And some people, because they don't have a good intention, they want to brag about things that are true or aren't true yet. So, for some people, it may work. I know this author who sold her book as if it was done. And she said that, hey, I finished my book. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to share this to you. It's for sale now. And then on her sales page, it was like, shipping and whatever may take up to 30 days. She was actually not done with the book. And but she used that to pressure herself to finish the book. So she finished the book in 30 days, and then she was still able to ship within 30 days as promised, and everyone loved it. It's insane. That's yeah.
I did the same.
Oh
I'm literally like 20 pages away from finalizing my second manuscript,
my
and I on my birthday 3 weeks ago, I sent emails to people, said, "Hey
gosh.
guys, like I wrote a book, it's available for purchase. Do you want to be a part of it?" And I used it. I mean, I don't know if it was a means to a malicious intent, but it's like, hey,
Yeah.
I must get this book. It's going to be out there. I'm going to sell 1,000 copies. People
Yeah.
will come to my annual planning event in December, and 50 people are going to sign up for my program at that
Yeah.
time.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's just like funny how you say it, like this person, like here now, you know, two authors that did it.
Yeah. We're gonna call this coaching program raw dogging a deadline. So sign up for our first for our first round of coach mentees. So I love that. I think ultimately it is like intention, right? You have no intention of scamming these people or lying or whatever. Your intention is to get it done and to whatever gets you there, whatever vehicle gets you there, right?
Correct.
And this is
Correct.
the
Correct.
vehicle. Yeah.
Exactly.
I love that. So yeah, so I really love that we brainstormed that a little bit because it's going to give our listeners something to think about.
Something to
So
chew on.
yeah, I know. Can you share some experiences in your life when you had a big win in business, or maybe not even a big win, a win in business where you realized that, hey, I didn't have to work so hard to get that. Obviously, aside from the nightclub thing, thanks, Dad. And you realize, oh, wow, money can just come from pure connection and fun.
I think I'm in a group called Brand Builders. It's a great like mastermind group, and I've been in it for 3 years, and I have been sharing kind of the work that I do with different people, and like sharing Notion templates and sharing ideas and sharing perspectives and sharing how people can keep moving the ball forward. And in April of this year, I rebranded my company. It used to be called CPD Advisors, now it's called MDM. And there was a friend who was at an event that I was attending in April when I like experienced this rebrand. And I was just like telling him about, hey, like I'm rebranding because like this is what I do. Like Million Dollar Machine is what I do. It's what I help people become. And we had a call a few days later, and it was just so simple. He was like, "Okay, so how do I become a million-dollar machine?" I said, "You hire me for 3 months." And he said, "And how much is that going to cost?" And I said, $12,000. He said, "Okay, done." And I was like, "Whoa, that's like never happened before." And it just like happened. It just happened, and we started working together, and I learned a lot. Like I learned a lot about how to just continue to improve this service, and it was just such a powerful win that wasn't, I mean, it wasn't overnight. It was a lot of like breadcrumbs of giving value, giving value, giving value. And I think that's like what marketing is today, like just continuing to give people resources, continuing to give people ideas. And then until one day, it's like overnight success, like they choose to work with you. But it's never overnight.
No, I totally agree with that. And I also believe in what they call like a lag time in terms of results, right? So I think that there's a lag time. You know, if you start hustling, posting content right now, you're not going to immediately get a $10,000 sale right now. It'll
Correct.
probably even arrive like 6 months from now. Like realistically, obviously, it depends on how strong your copy skills are or how often, how much time you spend at working. And of course, there's limitations if you're doing this behind a screen than in like person because of the
Real person,
connection.
yeah.
Yeah,
Exactly.
but aside from like a lag time in terms of results, I also believe in like a lag in terms of the quality of results. I think I don't know if you've heard this saying that if you work excellently, your results will be great. If you work great, your results will be good. If you work good, your results will be mediocre, like something like that. And that's for me, I love that saying because it inspires me to be excellent all the time because I know that my results, because there's like things you can control, my results might not be at par with my efforts.
Your
But
results,
yeah.
yeah, it's usually a fraction
Right. Yeah.
of it,
Yeah.
which is why, I mean, my whole thing is when I build systems for companies, it's like the point of these systems is that so you can be a momentum bullet train that is just always moving forward. Because if you stop and there's an interruption and then you're not doing outreach for 3 days, or you're not attending networking events for a couple of weeks, then it just interrupts your entire, like the flow of the business. It interrupts the inbound results that a business is experiencing. And so that is why it's like either the systems or the mindset, you just always got to keep bulleting for. I mean, that's why I wrote the book in 30 days to like prove that I can be a bullet train of momentum.
Yeah, no, I love that. And to be honest, I think the momentum for me also works better than a marathon. When I also had and I wrote a book in like 2017 about growing a small business to millions in the Philippines. This was the time when I was doing university tours and things like that. And I also, yeah, it was also a sprint for me. I think I wrote the book in 60 days, proofreading in like 2 weeks. And then I launched it on my birthday, and it was so guerrilla. And I launched it on my birthday because I just know I'm gonna get a lot of happy birthday messages, and the algorithm is gonna favor my Facebook page and my Instagram and my
Same
LinkedIn.
strategy.
And it
Yeah.
worked. It worked. Everyone was telling me happy birthday. I was getting a lot of inbound. And for those who wanted to buy me a gift, I'm like, share this with someone that you think you will, you know, who might like this book. So, I love that. I love that. I love your point about systems and mindset because I think that that is the simplest way to really remember how you can add the money-making part of networking and meeting people and making connections. We're going to talk a little bit about that, and I would love to do a deep dive on basically what are your like best networking tips in person and behind the screen because right now we live in the duality of doing business, especially post-pandemic. But I have a question that I'm super curious about as a married woman, and I know you're also married. What are the activities that you like doing? And do you ever have the separation of like, I'm just doing this for fun, or do you always think about making money as the man of the household?
I don't always think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm moving into prioritizing that concept a bit more, as we are starting a family, so it is becoming very top of mind. With that being said, though, I think it's still required. Like, you can't be always on. You gotta take time. I'm doing a puzzle now with my wife. Or we just like sit and do a puzzle, like nothing to do with money. Like, and I do it because it needs to like take a break. Your brain has to recharge. I started doing a digital Sabbath on Saturdays where you aren't using your phone. I'm not using my phone, the internet's off, and it's just like a recharge. And so most people, they're just always on all 24/7, and it just doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
Because eventually the machine breaks down. If you have the
Yeah.
machine always running, it breaks down.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. And I love your idea about the puzzles, by the way. So, I got a little trivia for you. So I live in Playa del Carmen, and a lot of people come here to party. And
Yes.
when they party, they participate in a little bit of substance abuse. And not me, but some of them. And it is actually a pretty known thing that obviously, like after, you know, if you take a lot of something, then you have like a come down after, and then you feel depressed, you know, you're out of serotonin and all of that. And one of the things that they actually say that will help you is building a puzzle. because it will that one th those are one of the activities where it's super easy. It doesn't need like a lot of mental, I'm not going to tell you to do a Sudoku like if you're super drained with your serotonin and energy. But they, aside from IV, I apparently like forming a puzzle is a good way to re-up your like dopamine, serotonin, your happy hormones, and then you achieve something and then you're problem solving, but not very difficult. So
It's a hell of a dopamine rush.
yeah,
Like
solving a puzzle.
like putting the pieces in.
I
Oh my God.
know, it's so rewarding.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. So there you go. Phoneless Saturday, so you can take a bunch of mushrooms and then and then on
And
Sunday you
then
form
do
a
puzzle
puzzle.
on Sunday.
We should host a couples retreat and
We're
then
couples retreat in Playa del Carmen.
all right. Oh my gosh,
All
yeah,
natural.
so all
I'll
natural,
bring the
yeah.
Palo Santo.
Exactly. All natural, hormone free, cage free, all those things. So I love that. And thank you for sharing your thoughts. I love that you really do a good part, a good way of bringing like a balance into your life. And I can see that I can see the Virgo, the Virgo working. But at this point, I would love to know specifically like who you help. And how do you help them? Who are the people that you work with? And how did you, and maybe if you can share any special ways that you that they found you and that they became your clients.
So I, most of my clients, 95% of them have been referrals and word of mouth because of my avid networking.
I love that.
It does get a little tiring, so I'm now kind of shifting into the whole building the digital marketing machine that's kind of easier to bring in more people into my world. But the people that we focus, specialize in helping are business owners between 200K and 750K in revenue. It means that they have stood the test of time a little bit, they've found some fit, they have made some sales, and they're probably either working alone or with one person or two people, and they have never built a business, so like they don't actually know what working smarter means. They think like, oh, from 200 to 500, I just need to work more hours. Or I just need to like get more clients, but getting more clients means working more hours. So what we do is we help these entrepreneurs start to set up the systems so that the owner isn't so overwhelmed with their business. They're not running their business on WhatsApp and Slack and email and messages and just constantly reactively on their phone. They can actually see everything nice and organized on their project management dashboards, on their CRM. We specialize in a tool called Notion. Lots of Notion creators in the world, but a lot of these creators are for like, oh, I'm going to organize my journal, or I'm going to organize like my notes. And it's like, very solo based, but it's like, no, it's a business system to get groups of people organized. So that's kind of the space that I'm leaning into. And the cool thing about us is that whether you are scaling a VA agency, creating a CSM agency, running a marketing agency, you're a coach, you're a consultant, you have a community, everyone starts in the same place, which is a 3-month program where a group of 20 people are completing a course together and they're meeting on a weekly basis to talk about the concepts in the course. They're building out their Notion system, they're getting everything set up so that at the end of these 90 days, we help these people find an operator so that they can go back to finding new clients, and that operator is now running the machine that was built.
I love that. And I know selfishly, because I know you, I know that this cohort, this 3-month thing, is actually pretty affordable, right? So can you share a little bit about it? Because I really want my listeners to know about this program, and I genuinely think that it will help a lot of people.
Yeah, so there's 3 ways to consume the cohort. There's the done with you or the DIY version. It's $1,500 for 3 months. Then there's the done with you plus version, which I meet with the participant 4 times while they're doing the cohort. And then there's the one where it's like small teams and they have a lot of things where I kind of meet with them every week and we're building things out. It's a over five figure investment, over $10,000. But leaning back to the mission statement, my mission statement of democratizing business transformation, there are people who maybe are just starting out and they know that they want to get organized. Like they know they
And
need
they need
this
support.
and they need the support. And so we offer a program. It's called the Pop-Up Pilot Program. So for those that are under 300K in revenue, they get 50% off.
I love
So
that.
they could do the program for 750 and complete the program. The idea is that they are getting the support and then we're finding them someone to continue to accelerate that growth, but that they have the tools that they need to take their new business to level one or level two.
I love that. No, thank you for sharing, because I also realize that our best clients are in the 300K a year to as high as like 8 million, but most of them are really in the 300K to 3 million. And a lot of systems need to be put in place. You're right. Like they have something proven, they can deliver, but they can't deliver at scale, or maybe they need more product innovation so that they can improve and sell something at a higher value. And I love that you have affordable ways to have even solopreneurs and consultants who are making 30 to 50K a month to get support. And honestly, sometimes support means that you are in a community and you have this mentor just like you who is ahead of you and who can tell you what you could be doing wrong, what you are doing right, and also give you like a path to success. And the accessibility of this, the pricing, that's super attractive for sure. So guys, I'm gonna post a link in the show notes. If you guys want to apply for the next cohort, definitely check it out. And if you're a business making under 300, or maybe at 300 to 400 to 500, you can apply for the scholarship as well. So I'll make sure that that is there. So because I feel like we're going to help a lot of people. But all right, so back to networking and making money, having fun. What surprised you the most about networking and making money while networking?
I told you I would have a story from this morning.
Yes, tell me.
I think you're very personable. And I don't think everyone is as personable when they're out networking. I mean, you asked, like, the question this morning was like, how do you prioritize work-life balance? And we were at a breakfast event, and the first person started, he's like, well, I really prioritize my family. The next person was like, well, you think of God and then you think of family and then work. And like, these are all great, like feel good answers and they belong in a Hallmark commercial. And then it got to me and I was like, so there's this app. And I talked about this app called
Systems guy.
Freedom. And this app called Freedom, where you set like these timers that were like shuts you out of the internet. And I'm like explaining, like the question was, how do you prioritize? So I answered the question. It's like, I use this app to like make this happen, and everyone like leans into the table to like listen more to like what is this app? I need this app. And so when it comes to networking, like you don't have to be so vanilla with all of your responses. You don't have to just be like everyone else with what they're gonna say, like, oh, I do my meditation in the morning. Yeah, obviously everyone does their meditation or whatever their mindfulness practice. Like share something that's like different. Share something that's unique, share something that's distinct from the norm. And people like take notice and they want to set up a one-on-one with you and they want to like learn more about you.
You become memorable.
Become memorable. Exactly.
I like
Give
that.
them a loaf of challah bread and like you'll never be forgotten ever.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I don't know if you've heard with the about the book Giftology, which is all about unique client gifting.
I've seen it. I've seen it, definitely.
I've seen the guy speak in an event a while ago in Vegas, and just and then we had like group, breakout groups after, and he was in my group, and it was just so like everything he shared about like unique gift giving and using that to grow your business. So guys, get that book for sure. I definitely recommend it. I love that. You don't have to be so vanilla. You're speaking to the choir here. You know me. I'm I have the language of a redneck truck driver, encased in an Asian body, in an Asian girl's body. So I love that. And marketing wise, right? You are a marketing guy as well. It's called a pattern interrupt, right? It's like if you do something that is so left field and it's so memorable, it's very likely that they'll remember. The way that I do that is with humor. I usually, but you're right, I'm personality wise, I'm very personable and extroverted, and I love telling stories at a dinner party. And but if you're not that kind of person, what do you advise? Like, what if I'm introverted and shy and I live on Reddit?
Nothing wrong with that,
That's me on a
but
Sunday, by the way.
if there's nothing wrong with being introverted. I mean, I think it goes back to your goals and what do you want to achieve. If you want to build $1 million business or $2 million business, like, you're not going to find the lead in the Reddit feed. I mean, unless you are like, unless you figured out how to build a faceless YouTube channel that's driving leads to your business, great. That's my answer. Like, if you're introverted and Reddit crawler, like, then figure out a way to like find leads to be a introverted person, but don't like blame your introversion on the reason for not finding leads.
I like that. I like that. There's something for everyone, and the you can't, there's no hard and fast rule like who gets rich. And we have introvert billionaires, we have extroverted billionaires. We have Elon Musk, who's a little unhinged sometimes on his tweets, and then we have this quiet other millionaire, like, I don't know, maybe Warren Buffett, who's like a serious guy. And just like that, they're both billionaires. So that's it. So let's talk about networking in person and online. Can you give us maybe your top two networking tips, or better if it's kind of underrated networking tips, two for in person and two for online? I'll share some of mine as well, but what
In
do you have?
person, I used to be the cool kid who was
Ooh.
carry a business card. Like, carry a business card, make it fun, like, make it memorable and give it to people. And the second one would be what I said, just like, create pattern interrupts and how you tell people. When someone says, "How are you today?" like, say "shitty" or "great," and then tell them why in one line. Don't just vanilla good someone,
I
'cause
would be
that's such an empty
like,
statement.
oh, it's such a great day. I farted at an Hermes store. They'd be like, what?
That is
That
a
is big
pattern
dick
interrupt.
energy, though.
That is big dick energy. That is.
Like, who farts at a Hermes store?
Carla does,
I do.
and then tell someone about
And then tell someone about it at a country club.
it. And then online, a tip, like, right now, you look at my Zoom thing, like, the company name is there. I put it because, like, every point, it's an opportunity to just like show who you are. And so it's very subtle. Have it there. Another one is, like, when I have my profiles, like, accounts on like communities and stuff, like, I always put my profile picture there. I always put my bio there. I always fill out all the metadata inside all these communities. Why? Because when someone is searching, you pop up. It takes a minute. We're part of so many communities and this and that, but we're underutilizing all of it because we're not filling out the metadata, we're not filling out the categories, we're not filling out the things that we're in, and that's wasted opportunities because people who are searching for that information, you're not popping up because you didn't take the minute to fill in your information.
No, that's absolutely right. I actually go to my profiles every once in a while and kind of refresh the information too in these communities that I'm a part of. And even in my less active social media accounts, like, I'm not active on Twitter, but I know that some people would be able to find me there or will look for me there. So I would also update every now and then. So I like that. It's good to even, I never thought of it that way, that like, what about the metadata? That's such a systems thing to think about.
Virgos,
So yeah, so I love
Virgos.
that. I love that purpose. For me, my top tip to for in-person networking is to think about someone who is important to the person you're talking to. Like the way that I do this is when I meet someone new and I want to do business with them, I always ask about their wife or their kids, or I always and I keep that in mind. And if the what and I think this is for me too because I'm a woman, and I most of the people I do business with are men, and I really don't want the wives to, you know, if it's a choice between me and a man, I don't want the wife to influence the man for him to pick the man because it's a man, right? So I always befriend the wife, and I even make it to a point that I even talk to the wife more. It's like a social setting. I talk
Oh,
to her
wow.
more. I focus on her. I compliment her hair, her skin, and I don't even like talk to the guy. I want to do business. But guess
So we got
what?
to set
When
up a call.
yeah, exactly. Guess what? When they get home and they're preparing to go to bed, guess who's saying, "Hey, you know that girl Carla? She's kind of cool and she's really funny. You think you're gonna do business with her? Yeah, I like her. Yeah, I think I'm gonna go to Pilates with her next week." Like, so now I'm in his head. Now I'm in the home where no ad can go.
Wow, that's genius. So it's
Yeah,
like the your discovery calls with the man and then the closing calls with the wife.
the wife is the second, the it's a two call close.
She's too call close.
Yeah, but also I think also I am always craving for female friendships in the professional arena.
Yeah.
And I think it's just also it's easier to, honestly, obviously it's easier for me to bond with a woman than with a man. And but actually I got that idea from Giftology too. He said that to give the spouses gifts as well and the executive assistance of the person you're trying, like the gatekeeper, basically the gatekeeper, the person you're trying to do business with. So that is my underrated networking tip. Obviously, a little bit of asterisk here. You guys have to do this. Like, you can't fake this. You can't fake friendships at the end of the day. If you keep hanging out with a person and you don't like them, you're only scamming yourself. You know, at the end of the day, don't hang out with people you don't want to hang out just because like you need the money. It's really not worth it for me. And I guess for online, I would be my main tip is just be a ball of positivity. And this is why a lot of my Facebook posts are funny jokes and memes and a lot of raunchy jokes too.
You post on Facebook?
Yeah, actually a little trivia. So when my outsourcing comp when I restarted my outsourcing company because I had an investment in 2020, we became a seven-figure company in a little over a year without spending anything on ads. All my leads came from Facebook and people who referred people to me from Facebook. It's insane. And how I did that, I definitely wrote a lot of content, but I would say the ratio of business to personal stuff and funny stuff would be like 1 to 15. But I wanted to be a brand that's positive, funny. I want them to think that it's fun to work with me. And yeah, that's just my shtick right there. It's out there now.
I just found you.
Yeah, perfect. So
Following you, your
yeah.
page.
Oh no, don't. So my page is for my Filipino followers. I'll
Oh.
add you on my personal
Okay.
profile. So I think I'm full, so I might have to delete a cousin so I can welcome you. I'm just kidding. If you're my cousin and you're listening to this, don't, that's just a joke. But I'll add you for sure. So for me, it's like if you have a brand of like something positive online and that is your brand, just keep working on it and eventually people will remember you and will remember what you do. So that's my tip. All right. So what is your ideal networking event? So say let's flip the script and you are the attendee. Maybe you can think of some of the events that you liked, some networking events that you liked, and that you were like, oh, great job. That was a good idea. What do you think are the what are your tips for event planners, maybe?
Have definitely curate the table, like curate the people you're sitting with. I can't explain how, but like be intentional about it, or at least tell people that you were intentional about it, so they think it is. Breakfast meals are so like cliche. I'd love to like do something together. I would do a cooking class
I like
together
that.
if that's possible. Like I have a dream of doing like a challah baking event
Ooh,
where people
I'm
won't bake
coming.
it, but they will make the dough together and then take it home and bake it. That's gonna
Common
happen
goal.
in 2025. I'll let you know.
Sign up for the next cohort.
What else? Yeah, literally, right? I do bake. I do online baking. I am going to start doing online baking together, teaching people how to like make the challah. So,
Yeah,
we
nice.
can drop that extra link in
Yeah.
the show notes.
As long as I get commissions in bread, like I'm down to promote.
Hey, there's definitely alternative schemes on how to compensate. But yeah, just do something different, I think.
Yeah, I like that. I think the mindset behind that is in this book, what was that book? Radical Candor. Radical Candor, Kim Scott. I love that book. It's one of my favorite book about people management, and they said that if you have an activity that is like going towards a common goal. So the simplest way that you can do this is if you're doing conflict resolution with your team, instead of having a chat in, while you're facing each other, going for a walk is better, because your mind is like, we're going the same direction. I think that's the same mindset as what you are saying. Like if there's a common activity and a common goal, like we're gonna bake bread by the end of this, it bonds the group together. I love that. And curated intentional intention is very important. And if I would have to ask, if I would have to add something, then maybe something that they can take home also that would be memorable, that they can keep, that they
Like a
can keep. Of
gift.
course, the bread, dude, that's not even gonna last. That's not even gonna last. I'm gonna eat that in the Uber home. So just letting you know. Okay. So we're about to close this episode. Thank you so much, Ernesto. I had so much fun talking to you. But let's close this with a warning, okay? Let's make it fun. Share with me two most cringe networking practices that you really don't like. So this is a warning for all of our networking bees there.
I hate when I go to an event and like local event and I meet the same people that I meet before, and the person just totally forgets that he met me and like reintroduces himself. Like just tell the person like, hey, we met before, but I forget your name. It's okay to forget someone's name. Don't just like reintroduce yourself. That's gonna be the top. The second one is, and this is, I've just been to a few BNI meetings, and we're like, you use this like 1970s sarcastic television humor when they're doing their commercials. I don't know, they're trying to be funny, but maybe it's just flat because I'm 30 years younger than them. But I think just like try to be more genuine.
Yeah, going off of a script of like, I don't know, a Tupperware party or something.
Exactly.
So yeah, I think that the thing about the names, I totally agree with you. I never thought of it that way. Yeah, like just reintroduce, just say, hey, I'm so sorry. I know we met. I had such a great time with you, but I forgot your name. Like, can you remind me? Like saying that genuinely with a smile, and you're coming with an apology. No one will hate that. No one will hate that you forgot their name. But I also taught myself to remember names because I genuinely think that's a limiting belief when people say, I'm bad at names. Yeah, you're going to be bad at names because you keep repeating it. Yeah, you keep repeating it to yourself. Yeah. No one is bad at names. We will remember the things that are important to us. So unless their name is like a crazy name.
Unless it's the name of Elon Musk's child, which is like 29 letters or something.
Oh yeah, then you can just text that to me and or I can, yeah, that's right. So that's the exception. But for me, it is when people don't listen. When it's obvious that they're distracted, or when they're obviously bored or something of the event, or they're frustrated about something. Because for me, I'm not in the mood all the time, but I switch myself on because I respect you and I respect that you're talking to me. So I'm gonna turn on my, I used to be a wedding MC. I'm gonna turn on my wedding MC vibes. Yeah, for like 10 years. Yeah. I'm gonna put on a show because I respect you, you know? Unless I have diarrhea, this is gonna be a great time if we're talking. That's my promise. But I'm so happy that we had this conversation. Now I'm excited to hang out, eat bread, and I know a lot of people will want to follow you. So tell us, where can we find you and how can they follow the amazing work that you do?
Best place to find me is on LinkedIn.
LinkedIn.
That's where I'm posting the knowledge. But if they want to go behind the scenes and see what's happening in real life, they can find me on Instagram.
I love that. So we're going to link those on the show notes as well. So, and if you are a business owner and if you feel like you're ready for the next level in your business, you feel like you've been stuck between 200 to 400K a year, there is a way out. Definitely look for Ernesto. Have a conversation. Approach him on LinkedIn, approach him on Instagram, and ask about his program. I genuinely think it will help a lot of people. And I also believe in getting people support wherever they are at in business. Obviously, if you're a little bit more advanced, ask about Ernesto's higher level coaching. I really think that that will also give you guys a lot to think about. So thank you so much, Ernesto. I had a lot of fun and I'll see you soon.
Thank you, Carla.
Bye. So it's a wrap. To my entrepreneur friends, I hope that you found this episode interesting and enjoyable. I know I did. Big thanks to our sponsor, Proximity Outsourcing, for making this possible. If you need to outsource anything in your business so you can scale fast and easy, visit proximityoutsourcing.com and check out their solutions. If there's any topic that you want to request, feel free to reach out. I only have two conditions. You tell me why you find it interesting, and you promise it's not business talk. Find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube, and leave us a comment or review because you're cool like that. This is your host, Carla, and thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for your interest in fun stories. Now we can get back to business. See you next week. And remember, everything here is none of your business.